Hey, I'm Al Jazeera Digital's Duarte Geraldino, and this is The Takeaway. Israeli voters are electing representatives to Israel's parliament today. They are at the polls today for an unprecedented third time in a year because Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and leader of the Blue and White Party, Benny Gantz, could not form a governing coalition during the last election.
What I see is a very, very sad story, a very painful one, and I think a very destructive for Israel.
Ilan Meshulam is a professor emeritus at Haifa University. He's voted in every Israeli election in his lifetime and will do so this time.
I don't think that in the history of Israel, though it's not a very long history if you talk about the modern Israel, we ever been in a situation like that. I don't remember one time that we had a situation like that.
But Ilan says the elections may not resolve the political turmoil in his country.
I wish this would not be the situation, but by personal call, the thoughts are my personal wishes. They're two different things. Unfortunately, I think that we will get, I don't know, but I have a feeling that we will get the same results as we got last time.
He says that Netanyahu's alleged crimes are tainting the political process and may be even fundamentally changing what politics and civic life look like.
Because of his behavior and because he cares about one thing, is about Netanyahu and his own needs. And he can do just frightening things just to accomplish his own wishes and his own needs or whatever you want to call it. He sort of sacrificed all the values that we had in Israel. One clear one is the value of honesty.
Now we'll check back in with Ilan and other voters in Israel in the days and weeks to come. But for now, let's head over to Israel for details on the election and what the outcome could mean for its relations with the USA. Noga Tarnopolsky is a reporter based in Jerusalem. Noga, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Sure, my pleasure.
So, Noga, do you have any indication of how the situation with Netanyahu and his indictment is influencing voters, if at all?
We don't really know. And as Netanyahu's legal situation got worse, he kept getting less and less votes. This is a strange year because we've sort of had ultra polling, given that it's three electoral campaigns in one year. And so far, he's gotten less votes each time. But this is the first time in the history of Israel that citizens are going to vote regarding an indicted prime minister. And I would say that one of his great successes during this campaign has been creating so much noise in just electoral chaos that it's been easy to forget that on March 17th, he has to face a judge and go on trial.
March 17th is only a few days away. What type of noise is he creating?
Well, he went on all sorts of dramatic trips abroad, including to Washington, D.C., where he announced President Trump's deal of the century alongside the president. He flew to Russia and brought back to Israel a young woman who had been put in jail there for having a few grams of weed. He went to Africa and announced new relations with a Muslim country. He's been running around. The other thing he's done is run a really, really dirty campaign, kind of Nixonian dirty tricks. And the cycles of outrage have also served as noise to help people forget that he's going on trial.
What do you mean by a dirty campaign? What exactly are you saying that he's doing?
How dirty are we allowed to get on this program?
Well, you share. We're here to listen.
Okay. I'll give you an example. The Prime Minister, Netanyahu, has said that Iran hacked the phone of his rival, Benny Gantz, the former military chief of staff, and has pornographic videos of him. No evidence has been presented.
Of Benny Gantz, pornographic videos.
That's right. No evidence of any kind, not even a description of what sort of evidence there is, has ever been presented. And that's one of the things that Netanyahu's been arguing all along.
Wow.
That's the kind of dirty campaign.
So what happens to Netanyahu if he is not elected?
So first of all, this is really a high wire act, the whole election. Neither of the two principal candidates are expected to come anywhere near a parliamentary majority. And so the name of the game is going to be who has the best possibilities of forming a coalition Or if we have a surprise result and one of the parties gets more votes, really significantly more votes than the other, who will get the first chance to form a government? If Netanyahu is the loser of this, he's in real trouble because he faces trial and because his party is going to start asking itself if they're not losing elections now three times in a year because they have an indicted criminal at the head of the ticket. If he wins, Israel will be in some kind of trouble because there will be an immediate constitutional crisis. The question of whether an indicted person can be appointed to form a government was punted by Israel's judiciary ahead of the election. But if he wins tonight, even if he gets more votes, but not an outright win, but it appears that he will demand to receive the mandate to form a government from the Israeli president, there will be immediate appeals to Israel's Supreme Court to decide this fundamental question.
The other big issue that's happening right now is when we look at Israel's Arab minority, can you talk about them? Has their political power changed at all? Are we seeing a higher turnout among Arab Israelis in the most recent elections?
Well, this is really kind of the story of the election. Netanyahu, in the last 5 years, has made sort of his political name by becoming more and more openly racist towards Israeli Arab citizens, who are about 21% of the population. And it's really an interesting test case because in 2015, popular wisdom here in Israel has it that he was about to lose the election to the Labour Party, and he won as a result of going on Facebook, posting a live video in which he was screeching, "The Arabs are voting in droves, the Arabs are voting in droves, you have to go out and vote." And people here believe that as a result of a last minute, the last few hours surge of right-wing voters, that that was what got him a vote. Of course, he had to apologize immediately, and his party paid a significant fine because he broke any number of electoral laws and anti-incitement laws. Nonetheless, he did that. In the first election of 2019, he was copying that tactic. And also, the majority Arab parties in this country were very disunified. And there was a historic low voter turnout for Arab citizens in April 2019. 49% voted. These parties got themselves together and have run as a unified list. Since then, they were the surprise big winners in September, a few months ago. And in Israel, the joke went that Netanyahu, instead of securing his legacy as the Israeli prime minister who brought racist extremism into mainstream politics, he was going to be now remembered as the great champion of Arab voting rights in Israel. If that's the case, they could actually be the kingmakers of this election, which would be one of the greatest ironies.
Noga Tarnopolsky is a reporter based in Jerusalem. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.